Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Basecamp. When you use Basecamp to run projects, people know what to do, people know where things are, and you stay on top of everything all the time. Folks, sorry we've been releasing episodes late. We've just had trouble knowing which sponsor we're doing on any given week. We think we have it fixed now. My apologies. As usual, rate us on iTunes. Leave us a comment. Check out the CPC and all the fine podcasts they do, and check out the Nerdalogs on Patreon. I think that's everything. Here's the show.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Talking Games. We're here live. Well, not live, because it's a podcast. I guess recorded at a time, and then you listen to it later. Thus is the nature of podcasting. Yeah. So recorded.
Yeah, it's a recorded podcast.
Yeah.
But just so you guys know, this is live for us.
This is happening.
In case you're wondering if we also, or like we listened to the recording and we're like, I don't remember making it, but sounds good. Yeah. That's not how the podcast
No.
We actually do record it.
How terrifying would that be if you were listening to a podcast and you don't remember doing it?
That, I mean, I'm not going to lie. That is scary. Most of my experience when I do listen to any podcast. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't remember talking about this. Why am I talking about this so much? Stuff like that.
Why am I talking about this so much?
Yeah.
The show's called Talking Games. I'm Tim Dunn. Across from me,
it's Clayton over here. Clayton Margeson, just so everyone's clear. But to my left, slightly across, but not quite.
It's me, Kellen, the Kellen Terrence. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening, folks. This is, again, Talking Games, a video game podcast recorded live in the moment.
Yep.
In the Chicagoland area with Chicagoland comedians talking about video games.
Yes. Folks, and as we've told you many times, we get lazy and we don't book guests. And we like to come to you for questions to fill out our episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we come to you. It's like you're all of our guests.
Yeah.
Which probably at some point you were.
So this is a podcast.
Yes,
this is a podcast. This is a podcast.
Oh, that was longhand for this is a podcast.
Yeah.
So we've got some questions to answer, but first, we always start out with, what are we playing? Clayton, what are you playing?
Okay, so
why did you go to him? You know what he's playing.
Okay.
Clockwise, baby!
Listeners don't know that. They're not live here in the studio with us.
Yeah, if only they were, and we'd tell them to continuously hush their mouths because they're being too loud, with all their chortles and laughs. I couldn't think of another word for laughs. There we go.
Chortles,
guffaws was the word.
Ah,
they
very nice.
So what am I playing? Well, I got a few games kind of in the mix right now. Mm-hmm. Backed off of Bloodborne a little bit in favor of more Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 2.
Yeah, not
Let
a
me
surprise.
Tell you, it got a little intense. It got a little crazy there for a minute.
More crazy than giant robots and flying into buildings and not being in school, but essentially still being in school with a bunch of your schoolmates in Class 7?
Class 7. Thank you. The best of the best. Class 7.
Yes.
Well, kind of, sort of, all of those things are still the case.
Okay.
But now they've decided, like, you know, there's like a civil war going on, and the class was like, what do we do? Like, how can we help contribute? And it's like, I think we should go, like, rescue all the students who were in the school with us and get them back to the school.
Oh, boy.
Which is really a strange motivation, but now it's turned into, like, a recruitment drive, a lot like a Suikoden.
Okay.
So I am extremely interested. Okay. And it's and also you get this headquarters. I don't want to spoil what it is, but it's the thing that it almost always is in almost every JRPG.
Is it a castle?
Is it a giant, like a spa?
Spa was not the thing I thought you were going to say.
What about the spa?
Giant spa.
What about the
you
spa
know,
in every
JRPG?
Final Fantasy. It's about
you
magic.
He's right. There is a spa in a lot of these games.
Yes, exactly.
You're not wrong. Suikoden
has a spa.
Yeah.
And it's a damn good one. But it's actually a giant airship that you fly around.
Oh, okay.
Airship.
Okay.
We were looking for airship. On
I bet
the
there's a
list
spa
of tropes.
On the airship.
Is that new?
Maybe
to
if
the
I
series?
Get the right student, then I can. No, that has not been in a previous series. Usually you either don't have a headquarters or your headquarters was kind of the school, I guess, in the last one.
So you're flying around a world map?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But
I
it's,
like that. I like that.
It's a little bit more like you choose like a location and go straight to it.
A la Final Fantasy X.
A la Final Fantasy X, exactly.
Now, are you flying around and then recruiting people to join your militia like Metal Gear 5?
No, not quite. You're just trying to be like, hey, we are going to like try to help the civilians and help the school. That's like our motivation.
Yeah.
Because,
sure.
You know, in a war, it's all politics, even though in this war, it is clearly just a, like a coup, right?
Yes.
You know,
it's
like,
yes.
Hey, man, like, I don't think there's any morality to that. They just want power. Like, that's just kind of the idea. So
that's what the government wants you to think, though, Clayton.
That's true. This is a huge piece of, I have to assume, government propaganda
trying to get me to
stay in school. Because that seems to be the main message. They're like, we just want to reopen the school. It's like if Green Hill was like slowly expanding out and taking over the rest of the Suikoden 2 game.
I see.
Like, if that section was just blown up into like a, and also we're going to bring them back to Green Hill. And Green Hill's the most important thing. I was like, I don't fucking give a shit about this at all. But it... it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Suikoden world,
gotcha.
And it's charming enough that they can get away with it.
Nice.
But man, oh man, the other game I've been playing, brand new, Shadow Warrior 2. Have you guys played it?
Not familiar.
Did you guys play Shadow Warrior or the Shadow Warrior remake that just came out a few years ago?
No idea.
Okay, so it's sort of like, I think the original, I'm not... it was like 97, I think.
This
was
is a first-person shooter,
First-person shooter.
But it's like guns and swords.
Guns and swords against demons.
Oh.
Very sort of like Doom-esque kind of feel. I remember the first one being kind of sort of... I didn't play it, but I'd seen enough of it. And then the remake was like super goofball. Like, you know, the main guy's name is Lo Wang, and he has this insanely like just offensive accent.
It sounds like a Serious Sam game.
It feels a lot like the sort of humor, but with a ton of wall-to-wall dick jokes.
That's,
almost nothing else.
Man, they know their audience probably.
So like a Japanese Duke Nukem?
That could be a way to think of it, though I think it might be an American-made game.
Oh,
I don't know.
I see.
But the combat is super fun. The enemy design is hilarious and incredible, and some of it's like really genuinely... like challenging that can be really fun and like good mix of like skills and stuff like that. It's just been a total blast, but I gotta say, like, the plot and like the cutscenes and everything, all of them are like nails on a chalkboard. They're almost it almost made me quit the game like three times. They're just so annoying because it's just bad comedy.
No, but what made you pick this game up though? I've seen the Shadow Warrior games like constantly advertised and try to be forced down my throat in terms of discounting a game, and I'm like, I'll
tell you what drew me to it was I was really interested in finding out more about, they have randomized level design.
Okay.
Not procedurally generated,
just
but randomly generated.
Not roguelike or anything.
Not quite.
Okay.
It's, you know, you like when you die, you go back to your last save point, but the level will like randomize.
Yeah.
So you don't get the same experience twice.
How much can it randomize in a first-person shooter? Though?
Right? Like, it seems crazy. Well, what it does, and, you know, I probably could do more research on this, but whatever.
Could you do that right now?
Let me just, we're going to pause the podcast, and I'm going to just read some articles about Shadow Warrior 2.
Okay, all right.
But now, from what I understand, it seems like it's like zones, so what zone you walk into next is determined by, like, basically a random engine. Well, and so it puts together a level for you that is like, all right, this first part might be like the swamp where you're getting hit by these monsters that have this vulnerability, you know, like fire vulnerability, ice powers and ice resistance and stuff like that. And you're like, okay, this is cool. And you blast your way through that. And then you'll run and jump and you'll be in like an area where it's like kind of beautiful, like temple kind of area.
Huh.
And there will be bigger monsters. And you're like, oh shit, it feels appropriate to the surrounding. But it doesn't feel disjointed in that way. It feels like the zone is probably created, and then they just swap out what kinds of zones you run into, what kind of encounters you have in each one.
Okay.
It's really, I gotta say, it's super fun, really engrossing. And it also, parts of it do feel like, oh, this kind of feels the same, but other stuff, like, I had to just jump off a building and, like, fall, like, four or five stories before I could get to where the enemy, or where the... like end mission was, because it was randomly generated. I'm like, that's so cool. Yeah. You know, like, it's just like, I can just bypass a bunch of shit if I want to, or I can say, like, all right, I'll fight my way down meticulously, or be like, ah, fuck it, stuff like that. Yeah. It's been really, really fun so far.
I guess that's semi what, like, Left 4 Dead 2 was trying to do, at least with the enemy types. Like, it would scale with you. You were never going to get the same sort of enemies coming at you at the same time. The witches and other sort of big bosses would be coming at different places. But the idea that the level is also randomly generating as well as the sort of ads is really, it is intriguing.
That's what got me interested. And I was like, okay, I played a little bit of the remake from a few years ago, and the plot and the jokes and everything, I was like, ugh, I can't do this. So I just put it away. But the combat was pretty fun. And this new wrinkle just kind of intrigued me. And man, it has been just like crazy fun. Oh, also, when you shoot people or monsters or whatever, man, you see the impact. Like, monsters will get their horns ripped off where you shot them. People get like holes in them or get their arms blown off, and they keep coming at you, like where you shoot them too. And I'm like, this is such a simple gory thing, but it brings me no end of delight to see, like, you know, these like beautiful like dancer women, like, you know, doing these crazy acrobatic moves, and then you shoot them, just like blast a leg off, and they're trying to hop around. You're like, holy shit, what the fuck is this game? Like, you just don't see that a lot of places.
No, probably a lot of other games are devoting that energy and time to a story.
Yes, which I would not mind. Don't get me wrong, this is not a 10 out of 10 game. But I will say, it's a pretty solid, like, 7 or 8.
It's playable. It's playable.
It's and worth playing. Maybe wait for a sale.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, man. That, oh, God.
I've been playing another probably 7 out of 10 very highly playable game, Mad Max.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that for a bit.
Enjoying it, yes. I mean, I guffawed quite hard when the main bad guy, Scrotus, showed up, and I was like, oh, the dude's name is Scrotus.
Tough. That's tough.
That's real tough.
Yeah.
And then Chumbuckets as your little buddy. There are just some things where it's so hard for me not to eye roll, because the game is taking itself so fucking seriously.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was my problem, I think, a lot of it, too.
Yeah. And it's like, I love the whole Mad Max world, but it really, I can already see myself getting tired of, like, There are times where you, like, you want to go and you, like, you complete an area by collecting all the scrap and finding these other stuff. And then when you don't, it's kind of like lingering there as being like, we got to come back and find something. And, like, there's just a part of me right now where I'm like, I just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I just don't give a shit. I'm just going to keep going. Because so far, scrap doesn't mean anything to me. So far, the economies within the world don't mean anything to me. All I'm, like, doing is driving around and blowing up other cars. Sure. That's very fun.
Yeah.
The world is interesting.
I wish I could just have all the upgrades or whatever. Yeah. I was like, just like, this scrap stuff is so annoying. Just have to constantly go back. That's what eventually fatigued me so much.
It seems like a game that could easily fatigue you, but it is a great game to play when I'm not playing Overwatch. The Overwatch new character skins came out for their sort of holiday time, and that's fun. And then they have a new sort of mode for the weekly brawl, which is essentially kind of like a horde mode from Gears of War, where you have these different sort of mobs coming at you in a certain area, and then you'll have NPCs show up of Reaper, Roadhog, Mercy, and is there a third one? No, it's just those three. So it's like you as a team of four players, and you have very certain roles you have to play, and that's very different from what that game usually does, which is pretty fun.
So Overwatch just keeps on giving.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. It feels like it keeps giving.
It is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And BlizzCon is tomorrow, or it's the next week, and so we'll probably see new characters and probably more modes coming out of that, which will be interesting. Tim, what about you? What have you been playing?
Oh, I finished Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. Another 7 out of 10.
Like, very nice.
It's totally fine.
Yeah, I didn't even finish it, though. I just got sidetracked with other games. Yeah. What did you think? I hear it's pretty disappointing ending-wise.
Well, I would say this. I have never played a more easy final boss.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I mean, I suppose there could be some challenge to it, but, like, okay. They're screwed either way, because in the last game they made it so that you got to kill these guys. You can't just do non-lethal. So now this time you shock the final boss one time, then you hit him, and it's like, game, you did it. And
what?
It's super almost like,
yeesh.
You remember at the end of Clayton, you're gonna have to help me. It's your favorite stealth game from the past few years.
Magic Dishonored?
Dishonored.
Yes.
Remember at the end of Dishonored where you're coming up on the last bad guy and you think like, oh, I can just take him out, stealth him, but he's standing there and he's like, I know you're out there. Just come down. We should talk about this.
Yeah.
And that was much more powerful than just sneaking up on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In this, they don't do that. It's just... Yeah. Story was okay. It's just an okay game. Like, it's a 7 out of 10. And, like, 7 out of 10 sounds good, but it's more like, that's, like, the standard for, like, I'll play that.
Yeah. I'll play a 7. I'm not sure I'm going to play a 6, but a 7 I'll pick up.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. And
do you have a digital copy or a hard copy? Because I want to play that game, but I'm not going to buy it.
I had a hard copy, but it's a Gamefly.
Okay. It's a Gamefly. There you go, folks.
Because they sent me a $1 come back to us. And I'll play a couple games for $1.
Yeah, there you go. Come back.
Man.
And I just started XCOM 2, which I like.
Is it fun with the PS4 controller? Because that's the thing I haven't necessarily heard yet, is it's like I'm so used to playing a game with a mouse and keyboard.
Sure.
Not that you really need it for that game, but just are you noticing the controls are at least enjoyable with
it's
the controller?
It's fine. It's good so far. The only thing I've noticed is it is tough. Is that the case, Clayton?
Yeah.
Okay,
those are unforgiving games anyway, but XCOM 2, I think something about the randomly generated stuff makes it really tough.
Because I started the second mission, and I was like, I'm having a lot of trouble here.
Yeah, no, they intentionally make it, like, once you're done with, like, the tutorial part, I think you're just kind of, like, thrown into, like, these missions are as hard as, like, they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be, like, coddling to you a little bit.
Right.
Which, in the first game, I think they did a better job of, like, easing you into the combat. Yeah. So this time they're like, all right, you get it. Like, you played the first one.
There's no way you haven't played the first one in this game, then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, that might not be the case. Like, some people might need a refresher.
Well, speaking of randomly generated, we've got some questions here. We asked
What a segue that was.
Yeah. I don't know, folks.
What a link. So obvious to everyone who listens.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
You know what you get, okay?
You know what you get, okay? You've played this game before. You've heard us do audience questions. We're not going to... There's no coddling here. Plus, we got a lot of bits.
We got a lot of bits to go through.
Bit through this bit.
We got like four
right
Scott
here.
Goldstein bits to go through.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to start out with
a
the
lot
king of the bits.
Only four.
All right, here we go. King of the bits. John Patrick Cohen says, my question is for Clayton, and it is, what up and what's good?
Now, this one sounds like a bit, but I want to take it seriously. Okay. Clayton, what up?
All right, first off, what's up is Shadow Warrior 2, baby.
Oh, boy.
That's what's up right now. But what's good, I'm going to tell you right now, Bloodborne. What? Bloodborne's good.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
Bloodborne is, like, one of those games. I was just playing it the other day and, like, got randomly thrown into a group, and we all ganged up on, like, you guys know the Bell Tower guy who has the Gatling gun?
No.
He's, like, a random. You don't have to fight him. But it makes it a lot easier in Old Yharnam if you fight him. We all ganged up on this dude, and it was just like it was horrifying. Just like three people just like stabbing a person to death.
I think I remember that because I didn't fight him. I pushed him off accidentally. Yes.
Right, which is the better way to do it.
Oh, yes.
But with three people, it's like it's just overkill. It's like, and it was, but it was also these guys had fought him before, I think, because afterwards they were like doing all these emotes and stuff like that. And I just like went back down the tower. I was like, all right, enough of this. Like,
all right, let's get out of here. Come on.
You know what? It's like, that's a great little story. But, you know, like, it was totally organic. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Anyway, that's what's good.
There you go. Austin, is it Campion?
Champion?
Campion. There we are. I want to ask here and here, will Red Dead ever be available on PC?
Not the first one.
Not the first
that's
one.
That's for sure.
But the first one just came out on PS4.
Mm. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
You can now play Red Dead Revolver on PS4.
Red Dead Redemption or Red Dead Revolver?
Red Dead Revolver on PS4.
Oh. Well, oh, that's right. I saw something about that.
So let's clarify. Do we think Austin's talking about Red
Probably
Dead Redemption?
Redemption.
I'm sure Red Dead Redemption, but he just said Red Dead. So.
I didn't know this about Red Dead Redemption.
You caught us all off guard with that one.
I didn't know about Red Dead Redemption. You can't play it on PC?
No, no, it's not available on
that
PC.
Blows my mind. I feel like they could have made so much money.
Oh, they could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, also the idea of Grand Theft Auto 5 coming to PC was pretty groundbreaking.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think 4 ever came to PC.
No, 4 was on PC.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know.
And I think most of them were, actually. To be totally honest. Sorry.
That's fine.
Sorry to
All I know is that they're this week on iOS that they were having a big sale on Grand Theft Auto games, and I was like, I just don't understand how these games could be fun playing it on with the
phone
on the phone.
So weird.
Oh, sure.
No way.
I don't think so. I mean, if they do come to PC, it'll be in years, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think Redemption ever will.
You don't
at this
think
point.
So?
But I imagine it's like whatever the new one sailed. Potentially might be a PC game.
I wouldn't
for,
be
for how much
I think
money
it
they're
should
making.
Be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like just yeah, if no other reason it's like do a port, do it yourself, don't hire it out to a third party. Mm-hmm. Learn from the mistakes of Arkham
they
Knight.
They learned
or whatever
that way
it was.
With the Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean they learned.
Five was great.
Yeah, 5 was great. And look at how much money that game makes.
This is more in general. Do not anybody, if you're out there making a game and you're like, I want to do a port, do it yourself. Like, don't write it out.
This is not a question, but I'm gonna say this. Do you ever think Rockstar is gonna make a mistake with a video game, guys? I just don't think they can. Not that they're infallible, but I just think that they...
they'll still make money off of it.
They'll still make money off of it.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Weren't they L.A. Noire?
No, L.A. Noire was another company, and then Rockstar bought that company.
I see. Yes. Okay, gotcha.
Buying
so
them
then,
made
then no, I don't think mm-hmm. so. Yeah. We should clarify. The Rockstar is putting out some teaser images.
Yes.
Which are... Yep. Pretty clear it's going to be Red Dead Redemption
mm-hmm. it
2.
Does, it's going to be, everyone's talking about it, it's like a prequel, right?
Well, that's what we're not sure. We're not sure. The two images, we have the Rockstar logo in red. We have guys walking away from a sunset or a sunrise. Who knows?
Yeah.
There'll probably be another image tomorrow. Who knows? Yep. It could be an HD remake of Redemption, or it could be the sequel.
It can't be that. That would be heartbreaking.
I mean, it would be, yeah. That would hurt a lot of the goodwill they built up by, like, teasing. Yeah, remember when the map leaked or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. So and then nothing afterwards. And you're like, where the fuck is it?
So what? If they do... So let's say this is a new game. Is it out this year or is it out next year?
Got to be next year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
like,
question.
Like late next year? Like summer next year or like early, like
I'd say,
February next year?
I'd say late.
I would say holiday season next year.
Oh, man. That's what is the point of... That's just
buddy, that's how it's been for
yeah
a
but
long
I get
time.
That but I what I'd rather have is I'd rather say it's an announcement or we're saying great next year sequel this Christmas HD remake.
Oh yeah, that could be it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of money to be made even just with the HD remake.
I'd rather HD remake. I totally do that.
I would not, but I just
I don't know
played
if I
that game
either.
Again recently, so
no. Yeah, but great. That's the thing with I think what they're seeing is they're seeing, hey, people will be able to play it on the Xbox.
Yeah,
so
oh totally. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Peter Gradima says, who's red, who's dead, who's redeemed, who's two?
Okay, who's red?
Mm-hmm.
Santa. Who's dead?
Jesus.
John F. Kennedy.
Oh, John F.
Kennedy.
Both of those work.
No, right.
Both of those work. Mm-hmm. What's the next one? Who's redeemed?
Who's redeemed?
Well, now I think Christ should be that
Christ,
one.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so it's Santa.
Jack Rube.
John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy and Christ.
Christ.
Who's two?
Who is two? Is your son two?
He's not. He's three. And he's how can we pay? How about Johnny Five from the...
Why is he two?
I don't know.
He's got another number in his
guys, really think about this. Who's two?
Okay, who's two?
Who is two?
Blues Brothers 2000. No.
I mean, the Blues Brothers are two people.
Yes.
Are we all okay with that count?
I'm
I like
okay
that
with
idea.
That.
Okay,
yes.
Blues
okay.
And the Blues,
Blues Brothers. All right, so Peter, here's your answer. Who's red?
Santa.
Who's dead?
John F. Kennedy.
Who's redeemed?
Jesus Christ.
And who's two? The Blues Brothers.
We're sorry we didn't get any women in there.
Yeah.
That's on that's our fault.
No. Well, I was about to say no people of color, but we really don't know about Jesus.
No.
I consider him a black woman. So I think we got it. I think we're all good there.
A friend of the show, Daniel Strauss, says, it's been a long time since I've been asked to be on the show. What's that about?
No comment.
No
all
comment.
Right.
You
no
did, comment. Daniel, you did accost me at Eric Schinzer's going away party about not being on the show. So let's put that out there.
He also moved away.
He did move. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, he moved out of the way out of my life. That's mostly what he moved away from.
Right.
Miss you, buddy.
Bit one from Scott Goldstein. Yes. How do you feel about NHL 17?
Now, let's take this seriously.
I'm going to take it seriously.
Has anybody played it?
I think, well, Kellen is the most, I think, likely to have played it because
yes.
He talked about FIFA last time.
I did. And I have both NHL 14, 15, and 16.
Okay.
15 is the best of those games. 16 is almost unplayable because they casualize the game so much. I'm guessing, seeing what I'm seeing with 17 with the FIFA game, that they are probably, I would imagine NHL 17 is probably really fun to play.
You think we're going to see like a story mode in these hockey games anytime soon?
I would 100%.
That would be cool to
because
see.
Because hockey, same thing with soccer, is like you have these kids who are starting in high school and they're going to be, you're going to be playing in college. You go and you play with the Frozen Four. You then could decide to go into like the Canadian leagues. Maybe you're going to go play. I mean, the World Cup of hockey happened this year, and that was really exciting to kind of watch and see the Canadian team come together and play and win. I think hockey's coming back, and hopefully NHL 17 helps everyone get back into hockey.
You know a lot more about hockey than I do. Yes. So I just want to say I think that's 100% correct.
Okay. Kellen, explain something to me as someone who very, very little familiarity with sports. If you get drafted by a team, you got to, like, you're putting your faith out in the world of getting drafted by a fun city to live in, right? Because you might get Buffalo.
Are you saying Buffalo's not fun?
Oh, man.
Yes, I am.
There's a lot of drugs and a lot of people who will fuck a celebrity in Buffalo. There's a lot more people who will fuck a celebrity in Buffalo than a place like Dallas or New York or Los Angeles. I'll tell you what. I'd rather be the star player.
How did Debbie do Dallas then? How did Debbie do Dallas?
It's a different time, buddy. It was a very different time back then.
I'm just saying, like, some people get New York and some people get Buffalo, and that's tough.
Hey, man, as someone who grew up in Oregon, where there is only one professional sports team, I think if you are the star on your professional sports team, I think you
go to them strip clubs.
You go to them strip clubs. Yeah. You go to them barbecue joints, and you say, "I'm going to put my name on the wall," and they're going to be like, "Yeah."
Man,
I don't know, man. Like, I think if you're going to get drafted, you're just fucking happy that you're getting drafted.
I think so too.
I think if you are a LeBron James type character who's like the king of that sport. I mean, he made it fucking work in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And Cleveland sucks. Am I right, guys?
You made a lot of enemies.
You know, I've never been, but I have to imagine we're going to insult a city that actually listens to this podcast at some point.
Trust me.
Wait. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though.
Government conspiracy, why it's there.
Next question,
question. Nick Kula says, is Mafia 3 as good as Mafia 2?
I say this. I'm looking at trailers for Mafia 3. It looks cool. I've not played any of these.
Apparently, it has like a ton of problems on the PC.
Oh,
like a lot of,
like almost like a Assassin's Creed the
Unity
problems
where
it's like there's like insane things happening with character models. So far, it seems to be a very interesting game. From the sort of games media surrounding it, people have been talking about like. So you play a African-American character in a fictionalized version of New Orleans, and you go into white neighborhoods, and the cops will come after you. You go into white-only restaurants, and they will say, like, you need to get out of here, boy.
Oh, yeah, and is it in the 70s? Is that when it takes
place?
In
the 70s, okay. Yeah. I hear great things about the game. The problem is there's a lot of, like, really shitty tropes from open world shooting games like this that prevent those things from really coming across.
Okay.
Mixed reviews from people. Sean Pizik reached out to us, and he's playing the game. He's really enjoying it. We'll have him on soon to kind of talk about it.
Let's check that
out. That's a game that I would love to have played. I've never played any of the Mafia games though, so I can't comment on if it's better than 2.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? You got to try it. And let us know.
Yeah, Nick, try
you know,
it. Let us know.
I think it's worth trying. It does look like just standard open world, you know, or like standard GTA clone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right now. But I bet it is good for that. But I'm so fucking sick of those.
Yeah.
I'm just done. I don't know. I was watching because I watched like a quick look on it because I was like, that seems really interesting. Yeah, I kind of like the setting and the racial tones and stuff like that. I'm like, this might actually be like a really interesting experience. And then I saw the, like quick look and I was like, oh my God, I'm so bored. Like the whole time. Like, shoot that guy too.
Yeah, right.
Great.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Jeremy Kane asked, should I play the new Zelda?
Whoa, Jeremy Connie?
Connie, excuse me. Pardon me.
Gotcha.
Are you worried about Jeremy Kane?
Jeremy Kane kills people.
for a living. Jesus Christ, who's Jeremy Cain?
Yeah, yeah. He was IO guy for a while.
What?
Yeah.
What team was he on?
What team was he on? Classy D?
No, that's my team! Oh, no! I'm glad someone remembers Classy D. Jeremy Connie. Jeremy, oh, sorry, I mispronounced your last name. I want to play the new Zelda, but I don't have a Wii U. Should I buy a Wii U or an NX?
Clayton, NX,
as the only
right.
person with a Wii U.
Ooh, I was going to say Wii U.
The Kellen? Wii U?
Kellen, you're the deciding vote.
I say wait for the NX. The NX is going to come out in March.
And the NX is going to be the, like, the platform they designed this
look,
Zelda
it may
before.
Be the yeah. last Nintendo console. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it might switch just to handhelds.
I mean,
I really think it's a possibility.
Wait
till
there will be an announcement about what the Wii U is either this month or next month.
The NX.
Yeah. If you see that and you're like, that's fucking bullshit, get it on the Wii U.
Because the Wii U is going to be cheaper at that point,
yes.
too. Yeah.
That is true. Yeah, but that, I'd say it's worth trying it on the NX if that's the platform
sure.
they made it for,
yeah.
and it seems at least somewhat viable.
Yeah.
That's why I got the Wii U, and I don't regret it at all. Nicole's mm-hmm. playing a bunch of Pikmin right now.
Yeah.
And I tell you, that game's fucked up, dude. Those little guys die all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
It's stressing out the household. Oh, it's terrifying. No. No, Nicole's like, I get so stressed out when they die, and I was like, well, you know, it's like, yeah, it's just a video game.
that's kind of the reason why you're playing the game is so that they die.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, shit dies, you know.
Life
is cheap. Nothing means anything.
Nothing
you know
means
what I'm
anything.
Talking about?
You're fucking Pikmin. Guess what? Pikmin don't go to heaven. All right. They don't believe in heaven. That's what they want. They want to die.
They're like Meeseeks.
Exactly. They're like Meeseeks. Come on. Robert Churchwell asks, watching Westworld often makes me think of online gaming, particularly in terms of how it provides a release for or encourages violence and objectification of women. Give me some hot takes.
Ooh, that's a big question.
It's a big question.
First off, everybody watched Westworld.
Watch Westworld. It's
phenomenal.
Really fucking good.
I have not watched it, but, you know, continue talking.
Yes.
Don't feel too reserved.
I agree with Rob's take there in terms of it is an escape. People are looking for something more meaningful, so they spend money and time on this thing that's going to make them feel alive, when in reality they're just escaping from their lives, whatever that means.
That's
great.
As far as the question is, Rob saying Westworld's doing a bad job of like objectifying women?
No, I think it's kind of talking about how women are, most of the women in Westworld the TV show are seen as objects.
Yes. By the players or when they go into this world.
Or when they in that world. Or
gotcha.
even to, and I'm going to use some Westworld terms here, folks, so get on board. The hosts themselves are playing into stereotypes of those sort of tropes.
Absolutely.
That way. And so there is something about a simpler idea of, well, the women are more demure, or they are more sexually aggressive. They are not you don't see any of the women in roles of power or roles of adventuring. You're seeing most of the women there. There's no women bounty hunters. We've seen women. I don't want to spoil anything for you, Tim, but there's in a third episode there where the trope kind of gets flipped a little bit.
Okay, I mean
you can
be a woman guest.
You can
be
a female
cowboy.
Guest.
You can do whatever
exactly,
you want.
Exactly
yeah.
that way.
But it's a simpler. That's what they're the appeal to it. It's a simpler time.
And there's a lot of times I think in video games where it's like, well, hey, this is just a video game. It's just a game. You know, don't fucking take it so seriously, which is stupid because it's not just a game. And we should take it seriously.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that brings up another question, which is like, if you just leave any average person in an environment like that, video game, I should say, will they do shitty things to women? Or like,
who knows? I think they'll just do shitty things in general, and the women are put there as toys, as opposed to the. It is more an issue where it's like, in GTA, for example, it's like most people are eventually going to sleep with a prostitute in GTA because you just want to see what happens. And it's like, well, you want to see what happens because you're not thinking about the women in GTA as anything more than a toy to play with.
Mm-hmm.
You're not thinking about any of those characters as...
Yeah, the whole world is a toy to play
The whole
play
world
with.
Is
yeah.
a toy.
And the characters are just a part of it, yeah.
Exactly, yes. So I think in Westworld, and you're seeing that with some characters being like, well, yeah, I can just go and fuck anything I want to. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have a crazier sort of experience than that. And you see people in video games do that where it's like, I want to break the fucking game.
Yeah,
I want
to
see what the weird fucking stuff will be. You can see that in, I mean, there's no fucking in the Dark Souls games, but imagine if you could fuck something in a Dark Souls game.
Oh, man. That'd be fucking terrifying.
Yeah, like, that's the thing is, like, there's so many games where they, like, the first thing they do, you know, when they give you a gun or whatever, is, like, they do a bunch of voice actor lines for the person who handed you the gun, because inevitably, the players will shoot them.
Yes.
I remember watching a thing about it on Fallout 3. Liam Neeson was like, I couldn't believe it. I had to do so many lines for the dad getting shot by his son with a BB gun. Because the first thing every player would do is be like, can I shoot this guy? And you shoot him. You don't think about like, that's my dad.
No.
And he winds up being a huge plot point. They just shoot him and he's like, ow, stop it.
Oh, shoot me. Come on, you fucking kid.
Ow, stop.
Great question, Rob.
Great question.
Could be a whole episode.
Yeah,
but
honestly, I have a lot of thoughts about like.
Well, guess what? Here's another question from Rob.
Okay. Shut up, Clayton.
Video game voice actors are going on strike on October 21st. Can the gaming industry recover from a world without Nolan North or Troy Baker?
Guys, I had not heard of this.
Yes, this is news coming
That's
out.
Great.
Very, very. It's great. It is really great. I kind of feel like as opposed to. Actors or writers going on strike, actors who are, and I apologize, voice actors out there, to make you seem like you're not an actor with my commentary there. But to say it's just not getting a lot of news media because probably actors who are doing voiceovers aren't really seen as
celebrities.
Celebrities?
Yeah, well, they're less visible to the public,
yes,
so people will possibly miss their absence less. If you, it's like it's weirder when you turn on. You know, you're Frasier, and it's like, where's Kelsey Grammer? You know? I mean, that never happened, but you get the idea.
It's fascinating. It makes me, like, the last time I remember this being an issue was, you guys remember in, what was it, 2008, when the writer's strike happened? That was fascinating.
Fascinating. It ruined Lost for many, many people, because they've ruined a lot of television.
Ruined Lost, it really brought in reality television as
we
know it, because it was cheaper and you didn't need writers.
Yeah.
Some of the best, like Conan.
Oh,
I was gonna say my favorite Conan bits were when he like spun his like wedding ring on the table. Ugh. It's like the whole first half of the show was just like them being like, we don't give a shit. We're gonna just do whatever we can.
Yeah, it's great. It was really, really great.
Do you guys remember when they all got so bored that like Colbert, Conan, and Stewart just started picking fights from their shows?
Yes.
Well, they had to do something. So will we see this with video games? I'm not sure. I honestly think this will not impact the video game industry much because I feel like people will be like, well, if we can't get Nolan North, we'll get someone else.
I think the scabs are going to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, like, because it's not you're not getting the face, you're getting the voice, and it's very easy to see like, well, sure, that doesn't sound as much like Nolan North or Troy Baker, who are incredibly talented voiceover artists. But
yeah,
it's like,
and you know, I want to say those scabs out there, you know, I have no respect for people who do that. All right, listen, it's just me and you right now.
Clayton, are you doing something over there?
My name is Clayton Margeson. I'm available for voiceover.
Why
work.
Does he have his resume
What's
in front of him?
I can't see.
I would love to work on
I would love to hear, but he's got his hand in front of his mouth.
He keeps putting his headshot up to the microphone. I don't understand.
Here's a picture of me and, of course, the cowboy up.
Tyler Simple asks, are there good...
Wait, well, sorry, one more thing I want to say. It's not...
Wait, I want Clayton to do one more bit.
It's not just an issue with the voiceover community. Like, this is a huge problem with just actors out in L.A. right now, too, because they can't make... People can't really make a living being, like, a day player on shows anymore. You got to be, like, on a show.
It's almost like the industry's broken.
Maybe you shouldn't be an actor.
No, or maybe fucking studios don't need to be like there's a Red Letter Media does really great videos, and they did a video recently breaking down box office finances. And everyone's been saying this year how it's like, oh, every single movie that came out this summer was a flop. Well, most of the movies weren't a flop. They just didn't make $1 billion, which everyone else is projecting. And that's the problem, is a lot of these media conglomerates own these video game industries or own movie studios and are saying, well, they didn't learn from the fucking record companies from the 1990s and 2000 being like, well, let's release one album that's going to cover all the other 12 albums we're going to put out in a year. It's the same thing with video games, where it's like a game like No Man's Sky flops and doesn't make $1 billion, and suddenly all these other games are being punished. Mm. And voice, sure. You know, it's like, that's the problem. It's like the money, there's
all the eggs are in one basket. Yeah.
Very good. Perfect.
Tyler's question.
Are there any good politics-based video games, and Civilization doesn't count?
I had to look this one up. Democracy
3.
Democracy, I've played a demo of.
That's a really fun... Actually, Tyler, if you do listen to this, I know you. I think you would really love Democracy 3 because it is like a giant spreadsheet video game that sort of you get to interact with and kind of see things. It's not visually interesting.
I was going to say it's not even fun.
It's certainly not fun. Yeah. It is a sad game that will make you realize just how fucked up the political system is and how hard it is to actually win in politics.
Yeah.
It is hard. But Democracy 3 is a very fun game.
I think an argument can be made for like a Tropico, but at the same time, that's... I kept differentiating between like strategy and like, you know... What is a civilization type of game, and what is like true political, like Democracy? And they make a game every 4 years about the presidential election. I can't remember what it's called. It's like, I don't know.
It's called Wolf Blitzer. The Situation Room. That's the game that they make.
It's called Wolf Blitzer. The game.
Wolf Blitzer game.
You just stall and mumble.
It's me, Wolf Blitzer, here in the Situation Room. And coming up. Serbians.
Don't be thrown by how bored I sound. I have to sound like this. It's on brand. I have another game to recommend to Tyler.
Yeah.
Called Crusader Kings 2.
Crusader Kings is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. It's with Europa. Not Europa. Europa Universalis.
Yeah. Europa Universalis 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also great. I haven't played much of Crusader Kings because it's a dense fucking game. Yeah, it is a very... It's weirdly high stakes.
Oh yeah,
you know, and it's because you know it's like your bloodline.
And there's a lot of espionage. It's great. But that is more set in the sort of Renaissance time of like kingdoms and fiefdoms. Europa Universalis is around the sort of like the time of exploration. It is you're dealing with the New World. Both of those games are really fun, Tyler.
Yeah.
You should definitely check those games.
And he's right though, because Civilization aren't political games.
Oh no. Yeah, like the idea of winning through diplomacy in Civilization is a gambit you really never want to take. I mean, you're going to win through science.
I cannot stand that diplomatic victory. Such a fucking
thing. We all fucking signed this treaty, so we're all going to make a happy time. I'm the Frog King.
Oh. Okay, you're George Lucas.
Trust me. I think George Lucas would fucking love to make a movie about Civilization.
Yeah.
You know, I've replaced all the actors with just CGI versions of coat hangers, and I think it really adds a lot to the movie.
I love it, yeah. Jonah Cooper also says, how can I enjoy Civilization VI with restraint and not lose my job?
Great question.
Yeah, look inward for the answer.
I fucking don't know.
If your job is sit at home and play Civilization VI, then you're fine. But if your job is not that, then you're screwed.
Then you're fired.
You're fired.
The tough thing in my mind is like Civilization is the kind of game where even when you, if let's say it's like 2:30 in the morning and you're like, okay, once I build this thing, I'm going to go to bed. Mm-hmm. While you're building that thing, another thing starts happening. Mm-hmm. And then it's like 4:20 in the morning. What up?
Hey, now we're talking. 4:20 a.m.
That was so good.
4:20 a.m.
It's 4:20 a.m. somewhere, folks.
You could have chosen any time. Really? 3 in the morning. 3:30.
5 in the morning.
4.
I mean,
4:30.
If it's 4:20 in the morning, you might as well keep playing, baby.
It's 4:20 in the morning.
Things are about to get lit.
You're in bed.
Well, got my alarm set for 4:20 a.m. so I can wake up and get high and get ready for work.
Sean Rose
we don't know, Jonah. We're just as bad as you are.
We're just going to try and get through the rest
of this.
You
came to the wrong people for
trust
an
me,
answer
folks. We got a lot more questions here. I want to try and get to them. We're going to skip over some of these bits, by the way.
Okay.
Sean Rose says, why doesn't Silver the Hedgehog have his own game? I don't know who Silver the Hedgehog is.
He's got to be an ancillary Sonic character, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I think that might have been one of those bits you can skip over. Yeah.
But let's just make up a quick Silver the Hedgehog game. Let's say it's a dating simulator.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. You're going to a school for hedgehogs. And so there's Silver the Hedgehog. Yeah. There's and then the rest are just normal hedgehogs.
Great.
Yeah. All right, perfect.
Sounds dating good. Simulator. There we go. Boom.
Josiah Jenkins says, is there a way to make a good game using the same technology as No Man's Sky? I'm thinking somewhere like GTA 5 mapped onto a truly open world game where you can go in and out of all the buildings. Josiah, I think that's the game we all thought No Man's Sky was going to be.
Yeah, I think the problem is... How much space does the algorithm take up and stuff like that? And what more can you expand on with that?
Yeah.
And what does it take? And I don't know the technical specs to that. So like,
well, procedural generation, I think by its very nature, eliminates a lot of story potential.
Yeah.
And that, and which it, which you might have noticed in No Man's Sky. but it, by just like the process of how it works, and I've been reading up on it because I was interested in like random generation, like in Shadow Warrior 2 versus procedural generation. And Shadow Warrior can get away with these things because it's like, okay, and then, you know, like randomly generate locked gate, randomly generate key, you know, like, you know, it just can randomly generate things in like pairings. Whereas No Man's Sky, it's kind of, by its definition, just procedurally is generating everything. One thing leads to each next thing, and it doesn't leave a lot of space for like characters who are different and unique and stuff like that. So you could do it, but you could very well sacrifice almost everything that you put in could come out of somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that place is probably going to be story, character, you know, interaction, discovery, stuff like that.
So I guess our answer is not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But I would love to be able to see something like that, but I want to play Grand Theft Auto for the story. I like that sort of...
A Witcher 3.
A Witcher 3, exactly. And in that sort of case, like... It can't be procedurally generated. You know, that's just not really, it's not really possible. Again, going back to Westworld, that's part of the problem that they talk about in that show where it's like, well, you can only have so many storylines before things start fucking up that way.
And it's what it would basically mean is taking this machine learning stuff that computers are now, you know, we're getting around to with like a bunch of AI and stuff. It's teaching it basically like the elements of a good story and good characters, and then just having it procedurally generate one for you, which sounds amazing. But if you play it, it could be total garbage because it's like man with a beard and he's, you know, he's too tall. And you're like, actually, that sounds fucking great so far. But
I feel like that could be great with a text-based adventure. But the idea of the sort of
building the world around
world
it.
That is three-dimensional that you can kind of play around in, not...
We're not there
I'd
yet.
Say this, I bet like 10 years. I bet we'll
maybe,
be there.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? That's if the world is still here in 10 years.
Everyone, remember to vote.
Kevin Kobol asks, will Blizzard ever remove hero stacking in Overwatch's quick play? It's impossible to ever get solo play with proper teams unless you're in competitive mode. Kevin, quick play is just about having a quick fun time. Sorry to come down on you, buddy, but that's the case. If you want to get competitive, have real-life teams, get in that competitive mode.
I agree.
On, man.
Yeah.
Quick play is just about having the silliness.
Which Kevin is this?
Kevin Kobol. Good friend of mine back from University of Oregon.
Kevin, I don't know you very well.
No. But Clinton's...
But Kellen's exactly right. I want you to listen to him. I want you to think about it, man.
Yeah.
Like, think. You really think about it. You want to be competitive?
Think about it,
Think about it.
You want to play with four Mays, two Mercies... That's your comp. That's your move right
that's
there.
That's right.
All right.
That's your life.
That's
until
your life.
Until you join us in competitive mode.
Competitive mode is where the big daddies and the big mamas play.
That's right. The big mama Clayton and big daddy Tarrant.
There we go. And Tim, whenever you want to play with the big daddies.
Are we talking BioShock right now?
No.
Okay.
God, is he even listening?
I can't believe this.
I'm so
this guy.
Upset.
I'm so mad at him. We gotta talk to him after the podcast. Wait, hold on. Let me cover this up so he can't hear.
Tyler Haberman asked, "Do any of you want to buy my copy of No Man's Sky?"
Hard pass.
Pass. I'm gonna skip on. Yep, I already got my refund, baby. You know, I just when we were talking about No Man's Sky, it legit made me sad again. That's the thing that bummed me out so much. I was never really mad at the game. I was just so disappointed.
You
know,
did you guys hear that their Reddit page got shut down because it was so toxic?
I have to imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I've thought many times about like, well, maybe I'll just go back and finish it, but like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And finishing it is different. Because the finishing is not going to be satisfying. I've thought about going back and finishing Far Cry 4. That's going to be more satisfying than finishing.
Yeah.
Excuse me, folks. No Man's Sky. And again,
Kellen's getting really teary-eyed.
I'm really upset about this.
We're all sad about it. We're all sad about how bad it was.
I didn't
can't
return my copy.
Like
I wanted to hold on to it just to see if something else comes up. I mean, I read an interesting opinion piece on Polygon saying, like, hey, look at Destiny and look at how much work they did in 2 years. And I'm like, yeah, but Destiny.
I don't feel like that's a fair comparison.
Yeah. It's not a fair comparison. Joe, and I don't know how to pronounce this last name, Morical?
Yeah.
M-O-R-I-C-A-L, Morical.
Yep. Cool name.
Hey, guys, I'm just finishing up Divinity Original Sin. Loving it.
Oh, nice.
Have any of you played the sequel yet? And if so, how does it compare?
There's the sequel is still in early access.
Oh.
So I was a backer for it, so
oh, good
I have
for you.
It.
Okay.
But I'm not playing it because it's only, I think, the first act, and it's also, you know, it's like beta, basically.
Yeah.
So I think it actually is an open beta. Yeah. I shouldn't have called it early access because I don't really know if it's available for everybody. But, the beta, I'm not interested because I don't want to ruin any of the story stuff with, like, subpar, you know, technical elements. Yeah. Not to say anything against it. I'm just saying it's a beta, so, I really am excited though, because everything I went back and played a little bit more of Divinity Original Sin.
So good.
I just was like, oh, the sequel's coming out. Let me get a quick refresher. Man, it is so fun.
So good. I would say this in the way that like Mass Effect 2 polished Mass Effect, I would love to see what a polished Divinity Original Sin looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With like more, I'd say more characters that like can join your party and
stuff
like that. Yeah. If we saw more of that and just like a little, just like a smidge more kind of personality.
I was going to say a little bit of clarity about what you need to go do at any given
time. Yeah, that was the thing. I was never able to finish it because I was like, so what do I do? Where am I supposed to go? Now, that would be a game I would love it if it was
really
four-player co-op, though. Having more people come in and cool, let's all come together and we can all kind of like buff each other and have a good time that way.
Yeah.
That'd be a blast.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do a quick rundown of all the bits? We got a lot of bits here.
Oh, yeah, boy. Hit us with some quick bits.
Okay, is Street Fighter V over yet? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Scott Goldstein. That was Chris Geiger.
Yep.
Love you, Chris. Scott Goldstein says MLB The Show, NBA 2K, Madden 17.
All good? Sure.
Why not?
Patrick Winnegar says, who would win in a fight, Mario versus Ryu from Street Fighter? And you can't say they would tie.
And then I believe someone said they would tie underneath,
Yeah. Chris Geiger says, good question. John Patrick Cohen says, they would tie. Patrick says,
and Patrick got pretty mad at that.
Really upset right here. He said, I specifically said you can't tie. He says, take a stand for once in your life, Mario or Ryu. Geiger then retorts and says, I think the fireballs would hit each other and they would tie. Patrick then says, Geiger, you piece of shit.
Okay, I haven't been listening closely, but I would say they tie, right?
Yeah, I think so.
We can agree on that.
Benjamin Vinget says, why are the people that Sonic the Hedgehog kisses real humans? I prefer that H-T-H.
I'm going to say
human
this.
Human?
That's hedgehog to hedgehog.
Hedgehog to hedgehog. Thank you.
I think this is a big question, but I think you can dissect it as a serious one. It's weird. It's fucking weird.
It is weird.
It's weird. It's because it's like, it's like alien dudes, totally fine if they look crazy and alien. Howard the Duck. You know, but you got to have an attractive female in there. Otherwise, it's not, sexist. So, it's like it has to be like an attractive, normal looking woman. That's like alien women. That's why they always are like the sexier version. And then the like dude aliens are
like
fucking monsters
or
something.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Right. That is very weird.
Yeah. It's like a well-trodden territory of like, oh, this is like a fucked up thing that shows that men are making this and marketing it to other men.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fucking God, can we just for once like not fuck something up,
Yeah.
Well, God gave us a penis to fuck something up, I guess.
Was that all our questions?
That's all our questions.
Okay, wow. Thanks, everybody.
It has been a blast. Can't believe we're already at the end.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to plugs. Clayton, what do you want to plug?
Oh, God, we're not at the end. Oh, late 90s, Wednesdays at 10:30 at I.O. Again, there's a secret code to get in. If you come up to the person working in the box office and say, hey, I think Clayton was supposed to get me a comp, but I think he forgot. here for late 90s at 10:30. I can pay if you want to, or
if you want,
and then just kind of trail off, and you know, you probably get a free ticket.
There so you go.
Check it out.
I don't have a show to plug, but I am going to plug our Extra Life campaign that is now live.
Yes,
we will be posting that on Facebook and social media November 5th and 6th. 24 hours video gaming, the three of us trying not to go crazy again.
Yes. And this time it's personal.
Yes. One of us may die from an infectious disease.
That's right. I'm going to say a lot of personal things about you.
A lot of personal things. Will we have another Hitofu boyfriend moment? We have to have another moment where our minds get completely busted when we find out the boy we were trying to romance.
Oh, man.
Was actually a ghost. We are trying to raise money for Lurie Children's Hospital here in the Chicagoland area. Find out more, go to a website. We will link in the description.
Hey.
Who knows? Maybe.
I'll send it, Derek. We got this.
Hey, we got this.
Beyond that, check out The Probe. Clayton, myself, we are on that. Hitch Cocktails at the Annoyance. I'm playing with them this Friday. 15 Minutes with Lincoln. We just had a great episode with President Taft. I think that's everything. Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
If it ain't a robot, shoot it.
Bye, everyone.
Hey. It should have run.
You want to try another, you want to try it again?
Clayton.
Oh, okay.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today. And go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.